Good evening. Thank you, Caleb. Thank you, Angus, for leading tonight and playing the piano. Appreciate that. And I do want to encourage young people like Isaac, serve the Lord when you can and when you have the time, because you will be blessed immensely, and the Lord will move in your life with life lessons that you wouldn't believe. So, and he'll make you a lifetime evangelist. Okay, so thank you, Isaac, for your testimony and witness. That's really encouraging. So, all right, let's get to it. We got a message tonight, and we're going to continue on in our study. So turn with me to 2 John. 2 John, and we're going to take this in a little different way, but I want to make it more personal, more intimate, exactly like the Apostle John wanted it to be. He wanted these letters to be intimate for believers, for individuals that he wrote to, because he saw the warning signs in culture, which sometimes we as believers are blind to, but he saw many warning signs and dangers to the Christian faith. So I want to take it in a little different manner, but pray that the Lord will bless in this way. So the two verses I put up here, one is I spoke on 1 John chapter 2, and it's interesting that out of 13 verses in 2 John, 8 verses are referenced back to 1 John. 8 verses out of 13. So you know the Apostle John's heart is connected in his thoughts and his teaching, his loving, intimate teaching to the believers of that day. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. And then the theme verse I'd like to focus on or kind of lead our thoughts, I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. There's a lot of things in that verse. Home, children, walking in the truth, and then being obedient to the Father and the truth of the Word of God. So we're going to try to hit on all these things, but I've learned not to rush through my messages. I've learned to, as they come, as the Lord leads, I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit in this. So I'm not going to rush through anything, but I pray that we would all be blessed. So I'm going to just go through a few more things, and then we'll open up in a word of prayer. Some of the thoughts that our brothers shared in the 1 John, the letter that John wrote in 1 John, he focuses a lot about what is righteousness all about, what does fellowship look like, what does a relationship with the Lord truly mean, what does abiding mean, how do we abide, and if you remember the definition, to remain, to walk faithfully in the truth. As we live in this sin-cursed world, we have trials and tribulations and sufferings, but we are called to abide. Remain in the truth and walk faithfully to your calling. So that's the challenge. That's why we have the Word of God. That's why we have these intimate letters, to move us into this state of being, abiding in Him, abiding in the truth. So what does a relationship with the Lord truly mean? That abiding, we'll talk about that. Contrast of light versus darkness and blameless before God. We cannot all be perfect if we have a fleshly nature and different lusts and desires, but we can be blameless when we confess our sins before God and ask for repentance. So message title tonight is Loving and Living the Truth in the Home. It's a very personal letter, and I want to focus a little bit more upon our homes. How do we teach the Word of God? How do we live out the truth in our lives? How do we represent and be a witness of the truth before our children? And also as a witness to all those watching, right? Neighbors, colleagues, whoever it may be. How do we live out the truth in the home? A quote I came across, as goes the home, so goes the church and the nation. Thus, the family is an important target in Satan's war against the truth. So as goes the home, we see the decline of our cultural values and how strong our culture is becoming. It's really an attack on the home, attack on marriages, attack on parents and children and who has the final say or who has the authority. So we're going to focus on what John, the Apostle John, comes across here. And what was his intent? I want you guys to read this letter in this short time that we have in a very intimate way. And why does he share what he shares and how does he share it? Okay? These are some things I want us to consider. We're going to examine this letter, loving. He's going to talk about what does loving mean, but loving an urgent letter to people he loved in the truth, okay? And how does he express it, okay? How does he express it in a way that has even more of a forceful meaning in our lives, okay? Examine. I'm going to look at the people and the intent behind it, and then we'll go into the teaching as the Lord leads and time allowing. So I hope you don't mind me taking some room, flexibility to put it in this way. I want you to think about it as a letter. Imagine John, Apostle John, writing, and who does he write to and why, and what does he mention, okay? Dear, from the elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace and mercy and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. So I want you to look at that introduction. To the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, not only I, but also all who know the truth, okay? Kind of focus in on those. I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. So he's using the example of the children, and he points out this elect lady and continues to teach them to continue to love one another, to continue to be who you are because others know of your testimony. Verse 6, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead does not abide in the teaching of Christ, does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Verse 12, though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister greet you. Lovingly, the elder, beloved Apostle John. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask for your leading and the Holy Spirit to lead us as we, Lord, just love your word. Lord, help us to understand it clearly. Lord, help it to reveal errors in our life. Lord, and things that we need to change within the home, within how we parent. Lord, even how we love one another, Lord. Lord, help us to take this to heart. Help us, Lord, lead us. Be the revealer of truth during this time now, Lord. Thank you again for the opportunity to speak from your word. In your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ, amen. I know this may be weird, but I'm going to look at the people. Sometimes you gloss over the introductions and you go straight into the teaching, but there's a lot of wealth of information that we can find from God in how the writer wrote their letters, okay? The elder, beloved John the Apostle, there's a tenderness, there's an intimate in his writings. I remember even when Jonathan started this, he made this point very clear. the intimate way John wrote his letters was very full of heart, because his love was overflowing for the believers that were there, and he heard of their testimony, but he was encouraging them on and warning them for what he was seeing in the culture. He was warning them, saying, I'm pouring my heart. Paul does the same thing in some ways. He was pouring out his heart. You could see it in some of his writings. You know, I wrote John 13, and you could write it down. Apostle John was the beloved apostle, right? And John chapter 13, it talks about the disciple whom he loved, right? Was not all the disciples loved? Of course, right? But it was a loving title that was given to someone of his being, to pointing out something of his character that came out. Look at how he wrote his writings. The Gospel of John was to the world, right? It was pouring out who Jesus Christ is as the Son of God, come in flesh, full in truth and spirit, and he was given unto us as the Savior of mankind. Think about 1 John, and we went over 1 John. It was a letter to believers, how to love, how to fellowship, how to live in righteousness. He's giving a guidebook for believers, right? 2 John, how more intimate can you get when you're writing to the elect lady? And how much more personal in 3 John? He writes to the beloved Gaius. You know, these ways of writings, and I love that we have them. It speaks of not only the heart of the writer, but it speaks of the testimony and witness of those he's writing to. And it allows us to examine, would the beloved John write to me in this way? Would I be called out in this manner? If not, there's something to work on, right? And then revelations to all unbelievers and believers alike about future events. So John runs the gamut of who he is, of pouring out his love into the world and writing to these people. Next, he writes to the elect lady. John writes a letter of encouragement to an elect, chosen in Christ lady. Elect is another word for chosen. You know, I think it was 1 Peter or 2 Peter, I can't remember. We're a chosen generation. 1 Peter. That same word is the elect, right? So it was a word of an endearment, of encouragement about this lady. Can I pause and just say something to the ladies? This is an amazing encouragement that a testimony and witness of a lady was called out. Why not the husband? You know, this is some things I ponder, you know, the other sides of things you have to ask questions about. Could it be the husband was a Gentile of some sort or an unbeliever? You don't know, right? But this lady, her testimony and witness was called out in amazing ways. One who is known for her equal love, equal meaning the mutual love in Christ, the mutual love of truth. And she was called out for her abiding faith. What a testimony. What a witness for ladies also. I want to encourage you all. You know, my wife has the name Ruby. She says, you know, there's a chapter that's written all to me. Proverbs 31. You know, that verse, rubies. Anyway, it's a bad joke. Anyway. But I'm telling you, there's such great encouragement for all in the family. And I want to call out the ladies. To have a testimony of overwhelming love and truth and abiding faith. To the elect lady. And what is the further testimony? I want to talk about this. To her children. To her children. To the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not only I, but also all those who know the truth. Because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. You know, some commentators say it could be the house church in the home, her children. I want to take it more personal. I think it's a testimony to children. One who is known for their mutual love and walking in the truth and in obedience to the Father's commands. You know, my greatest hope or vision Can I just be real for you? Is as I grow older and I become parents of teenagers to college students to, you know, happily walking children of the faith, to hear testimony from others of, hey, I saw your child. I saw him playing music for the church. He's a great testimony. What an encouragement. What an encouragement to see kids walking strongly for the Lord because of, and here's what John is saying, because of, as the parents abided in the truth, abided in the faith in the home. This is a really intimate letter encouraging the elect lady and pointing out her children. Man, kudos to you. Praise the Lord. I praise the Lord over you because you have done well. And not only that you have done well, continue on because I'm going to give you some warnings in a moment. Here's a calling to have this testimony and witness to the home. Do we take time for this? With all the pleasures of this world, with all the amusements of this world, and I know the stresses of work, do we take time to be in the Word at home? You see the testimony that John the Beloved is writing a dear letter to the elect lady and pointing out the faith of her and her children. This is an encouragement for us parents. As we go on and as the amusements, as the pleasures of this life increase, don't allow the world to wrap its fingers around your children. And I like what Jonathan said. We do our job in the home. We preach the Word of God. We live a godly testimony and witness. And we pray that they continue to walk on. But they may choose to abandon the faith. Can I say that's not a reflection on the parents? You uphold the Word of God in the home. You walk. You talk about Christ. You pray for things you don't know about. And let them see your faith. And then you pray and ask the Lord to continue on in their life. This is what John is sharing here. And he even mentions at the end, children of your elect sister, mentioning of her own family, sister, walking in the Lord brings the same greetings. The children have gone out and is working and living for the Lord. What a testimony. As he writes this intimate letter, as he writes to the elect lady and mentions all this wonderful things of loving whom I love in the truth, not only I, but also those who know the truth, know of your testimony, he brings out three key things that I want us to consider. Very simple, very basic. Love, truth, and obedience. Okay? And there's a story, if I have time to get to it, it's really powerful, because once you hear the story of maybe the intent behind the letter, you'll be amazed, and probably even amazed even more at the why behind his letter. Love, truth, and obedience. What does he consider here? Verse 4 through 6. I rejoiced greatly that I have found some of your children walking in the truth as we receive commandment from the Father. So he's making a connection. Children walking in the truth and obedience, command the commands from the Father. And now I plead with you. I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And I thank you, Angus, for singing that last song. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. This is love, verse 6, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that as you heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. What is he talking about? He's talking about the display of love to others equals obedience to the commands of the Father. Love equals the obedience to the commands of the Father. And so as we obey God's word, it leads us and directs us to love, right? But is it the same love that is commanded in the Old Testament? This is something that's interesting, and we kind of touched on it when I spoke last. But display of love to others is from abiding in the truth. You know, you could just say, I can't stand that person. I can't really stand this person at work. This is one of the most difficult people I've ever came across. How do we as believers handle that? What are we called to? We could be called to a command, right? Love one another, right? He keeps giving me the worst reviews possible, right? I never get my merit. I never get a bonus. He's just the worst. But what, as a believer, how do I respond? Well, here we're saying display of love to others equals obedience to the commands of the Father. Obedience to the command. What's the command? Love one another, right? But display of love to others is from abiding in the truth. What does this mean? We know, 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whomever does not love abides in death. Abides in death. So now we're talking about how we react, right? As believers, how do we deal with this? John 13:34-35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I loved you. You also, okay, let me put back up again and say that. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another, right? Turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, I didn't put it up here, so you're going to have to turn to it. Romans chapter 13, let me read some of these verses here. Verse 8, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. And here's the part that's important. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So we are called as believers, as we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a command to love one another, but it's a new of the old, right? How is the old commandment magnified in the New Testament? Well, now we have an emphasis, right? Now we have who was the one that displayed the most love? Was it not Jesus Christ? Was it not the Son of God who came and exemplified love to the extreme meaning? Was it? What did Jesus Christ do for you and me? He could have wiped out those soldiers, right? He could have wiped out those accusers. Think about it. But in emphasis and in experience, how did he react? He loved one another to the most extreme point. See, we're always looking for how to love one another with earthly examples. The focus is the Lord Jesus Christ. The elect lady was having, she understood this, and he was encouraging her, let me urge you, let me warn you, elect lady, love one another. This is how, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples. That if you have love for one another. I have a neighbor, and they have two dogs, I think. Two dogs? Maybe I shouldn't say this, but they are the sweetest neighbors. They allow their dogs to go to the bathroom on my lawn. I have not said one single thing, though my kids play on that lawn all the time. But I love them. They're genuinely, they treat us well, and I love them, and I don't make any issues. Why? I want to share the love of Christ to them. Thankfully, they're believers. They're believers. That difficult person, your colleague, your friend across the street that keeps throwing things at you, whatever it may be, love one another. Why? What's at stake here? It's the gospel, isn't it? It's the gospel. If a terrorist killed your son or daughter, would you love? Would you love? You see how this is supernatural. This is led by the Holy Spirit. We act, so Apostle John is saying, not only do you take this command and say, yes, I'll do it, but you do it to affect the will. You have to move your will to love one another so that in attitudes and actions they may see the love of Christ. This is what we hear from John here. And as we do that, can I add this part? When we move in our will to love one another, the Holy Spirit begins to transform our hearts to have pure affections for that love. How else can D.L. Moody look at every single person with a big L on his forehead? How? By the love of Christ. Apostle John is handling this in a very distinct way here. Oh, I did have it here. Anyway, went over it already. I want us to think of this in another manner also. Truth. What is he talking about when he comes to truth? So he talks about love. Elect, verse 5, and now I plead with you, lady, not as I wrote to you a new commandment to you, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Love, show the love of Christ. And now he goes to truth. What is he talking about when we think about truth? Here I put this very simple thing, sorry. A warning to be diligent and vigilant to detect false truth. He wants us to be mindful that there's things out here that are affecting our mind, that are affecting our thoughts and our philosophies. You could just, sometimes probably my kids or my family get tired of me watching commercials. I dissect commercials. And I dissect, oh, look at this intent. Look at what they're trying to get across on us. And then I just hit the mute button. But I love to dissect things. I'm like, oh, what are they truly trying to tell me? I'm not, I'm ugly, or I need this to be fully pleasing to others. You know, I dissect things. So he's telling them to be diligent, vigilant. Parents, be vigilant in the things that you do in your abode, in your house, in how you do them, and how you take time for the things of God. Let's go on to verse 7 here. Look, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things which we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Teaching of false doctrines, leading them to wrong living and behaviors. What is it? What are some things that could be undermining our culture today? So he focuses on these deceivers as antichrist, who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. They do not confess Jesus as Christ and as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. What do we have out there that's affecting our world today? Okay, I pulled this off of I think Answers in Genesis website. Is Jesus really God? There are many cults and false religions today that deny it. The Jehovah Witnesses, for example, believe Jesus was created by the Father billions of years ago as the Archangel Michael and is hence a lesser God than the Father. The Mormons say Jesus was born as the first and greatest spirit child of the Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother and was the spirit brother of Lucifer. New Agers claim Jesus was enlightened master. Unitarian Universalists say Jesus was just a good moral teacher. What is the truth about Jesus Christ? we have to turn to the scriptures, right? Him as the Son of God, at birth, at Calvary, and in the resurrection. These are basic fundamental doctrines we should be teaching in the home. We should be teaching within our assembly. To know what are the false truth and the false errors out there, and how do we do this? A Jehovah Witness, I share this to you guys. An African-American lady came to my door. I think everyone else was away from the house. And an Indian lady was with her. And they came to my door. I knew right away. I knew right away it was Jehovah Witness. And probably a few, maybe when I was younger, you know, just to witness to them, I'd be like, oh, hey, come on in. Let's sit down. Let's talk about the Bible. I knew who they were, and I kept them outside my door, okay, according to some of these teachings here. I did not allow it into my house. And so they started their spiel, right? They started their spiel. And these are some things that I would ask. My first question is, what do you think of Christ? Who do you think Christ is? Or what do you think about Jesus? These are some good questions to ask. And so they went into their spiel a little bit more. And then I said, do you think he was God come in the flesh? Let me tell you about John 1:1 and John 1:14. Let me read this from your Bible. Can I use your Bible? Let me show you. What do you say that? Oh, well. This was talking about something else, and this was referring to. No. Let's not add anything or take away from the Word of God. You see, detecting false doctrine is our job. It's our job. We need to be vigilant, diligent about the Word of God. So that, as Apostle John was telling the elect lady, here's the warning, deceivers are coming, they're at your door. And so these ladies kept on going on everything with a smile. This did not move. Oh, yeah, that's right, but let me show you a video of how families are in the Bible. I don't want to see all that. And so I started to point out verses, and I knew the African-American lady was the leader, and you know, there's a leader, there's a trainer, and there's always one that's walking with her. So I turned my attention to the Indian lady, and I started pleading with her. I said, don't let this cult deceive you. I'm pleading with you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He is the Savior. He is sent from God, and he came for you. They'll tell you all different things. Jehovah Witness, I said this to our face. Sometimes I wish we need a backbone as more believers. This is a cult, I told the Indian lady. Apostle John was saying the same thing. He's saying, elect lady, guard your home. Guard those believers in your house church. Guard your children and teach them the truth. Abide in the truth is to understand and believe in the basic doctrines of faith. Why do we believe what we believe? Quiz our children. I Anjali and Aaron, they're young, but I say, you know what? You know, these are people that we need to love. These Muslim people, we need to love them. Why? You know why? Because they don't know who Jesus Christ is. We need to tell them the truth. We need to love them and tell them boldly, confidently, what the truth is all about. I want to tell you the story behind this, and I know my time is gone. There's a story down the Christian faith of the intent behind this letter. And they're just supposing it, right? They're just saying this could be a reason behind some of John's letters. This is a picture of supposedly Apostle John. And he's running away from something, okay? He's running away from something in such utter fear. Okay, because he saw something that shook him down into his soul. And maybe, you guys could check me, maybe moved him to write some of these letters. This is Apostle John's writings and the heresy of a man named Cerinthus. I don't know if I got that right. Let me read this to you. This article is, why did St. John flee the bathhouse? So he was in the bathhouse and he sees this man, okay? There is a much beloved story passed down from Polycarp to Irenaeus to us about St. John the Apostle. According to the story, John the Apostle of Love was inside a Roman bathhouse getting cleansed, and as was the custom of his day. However, through the hot steam, he suddenly realized that the heretic Cerinthus was sitting just across the room. John immediately jumped up and fled the bathhouse, explaining that Cerinthus, who believes in Gnosticism, and I don't know if you pronounce it right, Gnosticism? Anyway, these things that undermined Jesus Christ as the Son of God. John immediately jumped up and fled the bathhouse, explaining that Cerinthus was inside and he didn't want to be killed when the building collapsed under the righteous judgment of God. Why such a strong reaction? Cerinthus was one of the gospel's chief opponents. He was like a first century version of Bart Ehrman, widely popular, followed by many, but in a few decades will be virtually forgotten. In contrast, St. John is still with us, still faithfully contending for the gospel. In fact, many scholars believe that several of John's epistles were written in direct response to the teaching of the Gnostic Cerinthus. Cerinthus couldn't accept the deity of Jesus Christ or the resurrection. John was a man transformed by Easter, the resurrection. Jesus Christ is risen. That was the faith of John. That was the faith of the apostles. That was the faith of the early church. And that is the faith of all Christians everywhere. Why did John flee the bathhouse? He fled because Cerinthus had parted from what, even in John's day, was already the great received tradition of the gospel. In other words, the gospel is not merely a matter of personal interpretation, so that one person's view is just as valid as the next person's view. This is why Paul admonishes the Galatian Christians so strongly, saying in Galatians 1:10, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. This is why Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust them. Entrust to faithful ones who will be able to teach others also. And in Jude 1:3, this is why Jude admonishes us to, remember, contend. Contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. When pastors or other church leaders or other supposedly Christian denominations deny core doctrines of the Christian faith, it is not merely some personal affront. My personal views on such matters are quite frankly irrelevant, but we should all take very seriously any attack on the received traditions of the basic doctrines. Do you see the intent behind John's passion here? You see, he was saying, to you, elect lady, you must be vigilant, be diligent to continue on in the home. Continue on sharing the name of Jesus Christ. Do we take the time? Time, they say, is a precious resource these days, right? Time. Time spent in prayer. Time for your children to see you reading the Bible. Maybe time also for husbands and wives to spend more time in prayer, praying for their children, praying for their future. What about praying for their future spouses? Time. He says, we need to be vigilant. I'm going to close with some of these thoughts here. He says this thing real quick. Look at verse 8. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. You know, I read this a while back. You know, I used to welcome all visitors, even if it's like a vacuum cleaner salesman. Oh, come on in. I'm not going to buy the vacuum, but I want to get to the gospel, you know? But when I started to encounter, like, Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons, I kept them on my front porch. It's not that I didn't welcome them. I was fully ready to speak to them. Now, this is different when you talk about friendship evangelism. We need to do more of this, inviting our neighbors into our home, having meals with our neighbors and our friends and our colleagues. But those, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, or that is contrary to who Jesus Christ is, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. Why? And I read some commentators and they say, you're going to share in their evil workings. You're going to share, or they may use you as an example of, you Christians are not loving. Or, oh, Pastor so-and-so or preacher so-and-so invited me to your house. Let me in. Let me share your word, share my version of the gospel. And who's watching? Who's watching when you're sharing? And who's listening and may not understand? Your children. I may be strong in this. And if I am, I don't apologize. This is Apostle John ran out of the bathhouse because he was thinking that God's judgment was going to be brought down on the evil heresies of Corinthus. Oh, that we would have the same passion for the gospel and upholding, abiding in the truth of God. I leave those words with you. And I pray that as we continue on at Western Wake, that our testimony, our gospel proclamation will be wide. But upholding of the truth and abiding in the truth is strong, and we would have a backbone for it. Let's not back down. Let's be vigilant and diligent in understanding the Word of God. In the assembly, in our marriages, and most importantly, in our homes, before our children and before the family. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we praise you and thank you for this precious letter that we have from the Apostle John to this elect lady who gives us an example and a testimony of someone loving and abiding in the truth and is known far and wide. We know of even her children, Lord, that have a testimony of the same. Lord, oh, that this would represent our own families. Lord, we pray for our children. We pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, you would teach them and you would help give us wisdom and discernment to teach them well. Lord, help us to turn off the noise around us. Help us, Lord, to discern what are useless amusements and pleasures, Lord, and that we may be found well in the Word and abiding in the truth, Lord. I ask you for forgiveness for my own failures, Lord. Pray, Lord, that you would move us, Lord, to strive for that full reward at the judgment seat of Christ, Lord. To strive, Lord, to be diligent, to be workers in your word, Lord, and in the proclamation of the gospel. We thank you again for this opportunity, and we just lift all this up to your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.